thank you. Hi, yes, my name is Lisa Johnson, and I'm a PhD candidate at NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm also a part of the Center for Environmental Farming Systems, which is the sustainable ag research arm of NC State, in partnership with our other land-grant institution, NCANT State University, and in partnership with the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. I'm going to shift gears again for you today, and we're going to talk about a global issue on a more local scale. Food loss and waste has really hit the news hard the past couple of years, and I'm going to talk about one aspect of it that's really often overlooked. So you can see the title there. We're talking about on-farm. Food loss and waste really gained steam in the media with this paper that came out in 2012 from the Natural Resources Defense Council. The paper was entitled, How America is Losing Up to 40% of Its Food from Farm to Fork to Landfill. Now, it's a pretty sensational title, but it turns out that, you know, according to their estimates, they're kind of right on. So it's right that it made so many headlines. And now they have updated their report 5 years later to a 2017 version. If you think about food loss and waste, there's really a lot of reasons people get excited about it. If we were to solve this issue, it would have triple bottom line impacts, right? There are huge environmental, social, and economic impacts involved. So some of the things that get people really excited, and this is from the same report, one of the most exciting aspects of it is that 21% of our U.S. landfills are filled with food waste. So you can imagine many environmentalists are getting into this issue quite heavily. And in fact, the EPA is very strongly supporting research funding for this issue. A little less strongly focused is the agricultural impacts, but as you can see there, it's estimated 19% of all croplands, 18% of our fertilizer use, and 21% of agricultural water is used to produce food that doesn't reach us. Then if you're a numbers person and you like dollars and cents, it's estimated at about $218 billion is used to produce, process, transport, and then dispose of food that we are not eating. And you can see there in small type equal to 1.3% of the gross domestic product. So it's a huge issue for the country, and our federal government has picked up on that. In 2015, the USDA and EPA joined hands to announce they wanted to see a 50% reduction in food waste by 2030, which is a seriously aggressive goal, but it's in line with some of the goals we've seen around the world. Who knows if we'll get there? But the important thing to note here is that without baselines, well, we don't know what's even happening. So if you take a look at the supply chain in North America, and this is a graphic from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, if you take a look at the supply chain in North America, you can see losses estimated across the supply chain. At the top, there are losses in production. In the center, you see post-harvest, processing, packaging, distribution, retail. And at the bottom, you see consumer losses, which could be considered waste. And truly, advances in the last several years of post-harvest treatments, technology, storage, packaging, and transportation have really dramatically paid off. If you can see that very low losses exist in the center of the supply chain. Now, big ad campaigns are coming out to target consumers. Can people change habits of consumers? It's a big question. Well, the NRDC has teamed up with the Ad Council to start a campaign called Save the Food. So you'll see a lot more of that here coming up. So there are a lot of research projects, a lot of funding sort of aimed at reducing consumer losses. But if you're interested in horticultural crops like I am, you can see another big spike up there. One big thing to note, if you're if you like to dig like me, when you take apart the 40% that gets reported from that NRDC report, you find that it's all it is the food that's in our U.S. supply chain minus what's consumed in the U.S. This is a simple math problem. But what they leave out is food that doesn't reach the supply chain to begin with. So you can see a big part is left out. And that one spike that I'm interested in right there is fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are estimated to be lost to the tune of 20% at the production level. So there's a huge gap in food loss data, and it's consistently referred to as the big gap in the data. But lots of reports come out and reviews come out, and they all say we need more information about the farm. The 20% that we do see gets carried forward from estimates from the 60s and 70s and 80s. And what has changed in fruit and vegetable production since then? Almost everything, right? So the projects that I have underway for my dissertation, I'm just going to highlight really quickly and give a very brief overview for you. I'm doing qualitative interviews with growers, and again, I'm working with commercial wholesale producers, so I'm trying to target large farms rather than small. I'm doing field measurement of unharvested vegetable crops because you have to get on the ground to know what's happening, right? And then some solutions-based projects, too, working to connect growers to buyers who accept a wider range of cosmetic or appearance quality on vegetable crops. We're starting to get into economic analysis of on-farm impacts of selling imperfect quality. There are some economists working on this, not me. And then from an engineering perspective, we're coming up with solutions and have started projects on a harvester and are completing projects on a dehydrator. The grower interviews that I've completed now have been really incredibly insightful. As you're aware, many of our growers are of advanced age and starting to consider retirement. They really have a lot to offer in the way of insights, solutions, barriers that they're up against. So some of the topics that I've covered in the interviews are, in particular, the decision to stop harvesting. Why do they stop when they're still edible crops in the field? Some drivers of losses, practices that prevent utility, do they donate or not, and what solutions do they see? And some of the quotes that come out of this research are really telling. One grower said to me, "You may look back and say, well, there's probably 100 bushel of acreage out there, but it doesn't really matter if the market's not there." So we have told them how to produce, how to care for, how to maintain, and how to get the best yield they can. And there's this huge portion they can't sell to anyone. We can help to fix that for them somehow. I don't know exactly how yet. Here's another quote from a grower. "Once we get to a point where the quality, the risk of the harvest labor, the packaging and the freight, all things they invest heavily in, once the quality is poor enough or our risk is so high to do that, it could cost a lot of money. At that point, we stop. We just stop. They walk away from the crop. There's a lot of barriers in their way to being efficient, to being sustainable. We have to help them to be able to market more of their crop." So, of course, research like this leads to, decision trees and stuff like that. I won't go through the whole thing, but growers, the first question they ask is, "Do I have a buyer for this crop?" When they go out in the field the fourth, fifth time, often the answer is no. And you can see by the questions they're asking themselves, the answer is no pretty often. So what's my risk of rejection? Is this load going to be rejected and I'll lose the crop, the transportation costs, the harvest costs that went into it? I'll lose everything if it gets rejected. So the questions they ask themselves are pretty interesting, leading to stopping the harvest. And you can see that there's a high chance that that crop won't be harvested again. So how much is out there? Well, y'all, I have developed an incredibly simple protocol for measuring what's left, and it's just too easy. It's just too easy to go out there and measure what's left. What's hard is doing field research and going to farms and talking to people. It costs money, you know, but it's so simple to measure. Right now I'm working on putting together some extension materials so growers can themselves measure what they're leaving behind. Some extension bulletins, we've started doing some videos and stuff. So all we do is harvest everything in a marked sample area, determine what portion they could market to their buyers, determine what portion is edible and wholesome that they couldn't market to their buyers, and then determine what's inedible or overmature, broken, that you wouldn't want to eat. And then we just extrapolate to the size of the field, what's there, using these samples. So in looking at some of the crops that I've worked with, this isn't all of them, but it's some of them, I've tried to look at as many farms and as many fields as possible. But it's really interesting. I tried to design this project in looking at so and so many crops in so many fields on so many farms in order to say something statistically meaningful. But the truth is, the issue of leaving crops in the field comes with such blame and shame for the growers that they don't even talk about it. They sometimes don't want to talk to me about it at all. So the access that I have gotten to farms has been kind of spotty. I don't know if that's North Carolina or if it's, you know, countrywide. But I've tried to replicate as much as possible. So in looking at averages from these, you can really see the differences between crops. If you look at the dark green portion as being what's traditionally marketable, and then the yellow portion being edible but not traditionally marketable, you can see it's really variable across the crops. Like sweet potato is North Carolina's most important crop. What's left behind in the field, out of what's left behind in the field, over 50% of it would still be marketable. About 38% of it would still be edible. So there's a very small portion that would be inedible. But if you look at the top one, squash and zucchini, I don't know if y'all have grown squash and zucchini, but it matures just like that. So the great majority, 78% of it, is going to be overmature or diseased. I'll finish up real quick. I want you to have some takeaways. What I'm finding in the field is pretty dramatic. About 0.4 pounds per plant is out there. It's left that's edible, which is over a serving. A little under 5,000 pounds per acre is being left behind. You can translate that any way you like. It's over 2 tons. You could estimate to the state level using this kind of data. But I want to just touch on the solutions we're working on right now. We're connecting people. Growers are not reaching out as much as they could. Two, we're designing a harvester that has now become a senior design project in the bio and ag department. So this project is spinning out other projects. We've finished a mobile dehydrator now that we're about to start demonstrating. And as I mentioned, the economic analysis of on-farm impacts is coming up. I would love to answer any questions you have. Please get in touch with me if you're interested in this issue. Well, it's a huge impact. That's the grower's biggest cost. So in many horticultural crops, they'll go out and harvest once, twice, three times, five times. But each time they go out, that's their greatest cost. In North Carolina, labor has been pretty available, so that hasn't been much of an issue, but it's by far their biggest cost. All these crops are hand harvested in North Carolina, including sweet potato.
Yeah, but zucchini requires, I mean, we pick zucchini 3 times a week.
Right.
And, you know, baby zucchini is where the money is.
Right. And one of the things that I didn't touch on is, and it was in the decision tree, you know, as crops age, their quality does go down a little bit. And so growers plant in succession, they may have another field coming up that's going to take priority. So they may move a crew to a field that is coming on strong or has a higher yield or better quality. Yes, thank you.